Ephesians chapter 4, we're going to be starting in verse number 25. Ephesians 4, verse number 25. So Ephesians chapter 4, verse number 25, and you listen carefully, and you will learn some things that can be a big help to changing your life. Ephesians chapter 4, verse number 25. After the Holy Spirit commanded us to put off the old man and to allow God to renew us and to put on the new man, Paul was guided by God to give us five qualities or five evidences of the new man. These are five things that ought to be in our life if the new man is in control in our life. Five evidences. Now, one of the things that we need to watch for is you be watching as we look at, we're going to look at three of them tonight, and the other two we're going to look at it next week. But as you look at these things, what I want you to do is ask yourself, is that in my life? Is that true about me? And if it's not, what does that tell us? It tells us we're still walking in the old man. Okay? If it's not in our life, it means we're still walking in the old man. And you can't do it yourself. Just like Anais said, you can't do it yourself. You've got to have God's help. And so, as we look at this tonight, let's keep wide awake and listen to these three qualities we're going to be looking at here tonight. Beginning with verse number 25. Verse 25 says, "Wherefore, putting away lying, speak every man truth to his neighbor, for we are members one of another." God here tells us that we're to put away lying. Now, in these five qualities, each one of them, he starts out with a negative, but he's capitalizing or he's focusing on the positive. All right? So he mentions the negative and then he builds on the positive so that we know what we're not supposed to do. This is the old man and this is what we're supposed to do. All right? So the first thing he mentions is speaking the truth. We're to speak the truth. Now, he talks here about the old man and he says the old man was a liar. The old man tells lies. Now, I don't even have to ask because all of us have told lies. Lies are wrong. And you know, there's lots of different kinds of lies. There's lots of kinds of lies. And sometimes we kind of hide lies. We do things and we think, oh, that wasn't really a lie. It was just kind of tricking them. No, lies are lies. And here's some ways that people lie. This is a list that another preacher gave, and I thought this is a really good list. First of all, we exaggerate by adding false things to that which starts out with truth. All right, so we start out telling the truth, and then we add a little bit of, you know, it was stretching a little bit, that wasn't quite true, and we exaggerate it. All right, God says the truth is truth, and that which isn't truth is a lie. So we need to be not exaggerate. Another thing is that he says that we embellish stories. And the word embellish means to make them fancier, bigger than they are. When we're telling stories. Maybe you're telling your friend about something you did. You know, a typical story is, you know, fish stories. You know, people say, "I went fishing. How big did the fish you get?" "Oh, he was about this big. You know, it was only this big, you know. All right? That's stretching the truth. All right? Stretching the truth is a lie. If the fish was only this big, then we shouldn't say it was this big. All right? Because that's a lie. And it's stretching the truth. And we do that sometimes in our storytelling. So we need to be careful about that. All right, another one is changing the facts so someone won't get their feelings hurt. Somebody asks us to tell them, and we say, "Well, I don't want to hurt their feelings, so I'll just kind of change it a little bit and tell them a little bit differently so that I don't hurt their feelings." That's not right. That's not right. Another one is to alter the truth or change the truth in any way. You know, when we change what we say, this is the truth over here, but we change it a little bit so that it, you know, it helps me out a little bit. We change it a little bit. And so it's no longer true. It becomes a lie. Another one is to cheat. You know, children cheat in school many times. They'll cheat, take notes to school for their test. They cheat, or they'll copy somebody else's paper. Parents sometimes cheat too. They cheat on taxes. They cheat on other things in life. And that's not right. Cheating is wrong. It's a lie. And also, when we make a promise that you know you can't keep, that's lies. You know, parents are very bad about that sometimes with their children. You know, I've heard parents, you know, you go to the store and the kid's crying, "I want a lolly, I want a lolly. Oh, I don't have any money for lollies." Well, wait a minute, why don't you just tell the kid no? Instead of lying to him. You got money, you could buy a lolly if you want to, but you don't want him to have a lolly, so just say no. But no, they lie instead and say, oh, I don't have any money or you know, some other excuse. So we need to make sure that we tell the truth. Don't make promises or statements that we can't keep. And then also is by betraying confidences. If somebody says to you, here, I want to tell you something, but I don't want you to tell anybody. All right? And you say, okay, I won't. And then they tell you and you run off. Guess what they told me? What did you just do? You lied. You told them you wouldn't say it. And then you went over and told them. That's a lie. That's a lie. And we shouldn't do that. Then we also make excuses to cover our failure or our shortcomings. You know, maybe we've done something wrong. Did you do that? No, not exactly. Did you? No, I didn't do it. Well, we really did. All right? We cover up ourselves to hide something we've done. And then one other one is withholding information in order to mislead or deceive somebody. So we just don't tell them the whole story. And just tell them part of the story because we don't want to tell the whole thing or else they'll find out the truth. And so we just tell them a little bit of the story instead of telling everything we know. And that's also a lie because we're holding back something that we know is true. And so we need to be careful about that. So there's lots of ways people lie. Now, you children struggle with lying too. I know you do. Because lying is something that is a problem. You know, when mom and dad ask you, did you do that? You got to make a choice. Well, if I say yes, then I'll get in trouble. If I say no, they might not find out, and I might be not get in trouble. So you lie and say no, that displeased God. All right? It's always right to tell the truth. It's always right to tell the truth. So we need to be very careful about that. We need to consider what God says about lying. Listen to some of the things God says about lying. All right? These are some good things for us to listen to. First of all, Proverbs chapter 6 and verse 16 and 17. These six things do the Lord hate. Yea, seven are an abomination. Abomination means it stinks to God. He can't stand it. And he says the very first thing is a proud look. The second one is a lying tongue. God says, I hate lying tongues. I hate lying tongues. So we need to tell the truth. Another one, Proverbs chapter 10 and verse 18 says, he that hideth hatred by lying lips, and he that utter slander. Slander is saying bad things about somebody else. He that lies or utters slander is a fool. The fool. And you got two kinds of people in the book of Proverbs. You got a wise man and the fool. The wise man does things God's way. The fool does things man's way. God said, if you tell lies, you are a fool. Proverbs chapter 12, verse 22 says, lying lips are an abomination to the Lord, but they that deal truly are his delight. So God says, I can't stand it when you tell lies, but I sure do like it when you tell the truth. Now, you got to make a choice. Do you want to please God or do you want to make God very sad? If we tell lies, we make God very sad. If we tell the truth, we please God. He delights in that. One last one is the verse that we had in our quiz. Colossians chapter 3, verse 9 says, lie not one to another, seeing that you have put off the old man with his deeds. Lie not one to another. So God tells us very clearly we are not to lie. Now, the quality of the new man is truthfulness. So he gave us the what we're not supposed to eat. So the old man is a liar. But he says the new man is truthful. The new man is truthful. And so we need to put on truthfulness. And remember, how can we do it? Do we do it by our own strength? Do we say, all right, I'm going to turn over a new leaf. I'm not going to lie anymore. I'm going to work really, really, really hard. Not going to tell lies anymore. Well, it won't work. Because our sinful nature will still tell lies. How do we do it? We need God's help. We need God's help, and by putting on the new man, and we can have the victory over lying. We can be truthful. Now, God wants his children to speak the truth. Now, remember, Paul is writing to the church at Ephesus. And he tells us here, in verse 25, he says that let every man speak the truth with his neighbor, for we are members one of another. That's an important statement. He's writing to the church that is at Ephesus, and he's telling them, that they need to tell the truth because they are members one of another. In other words, they're a body. The local church is a body. And part of a body, you don't want to hurt your body. You know, there's none of us here tonight that would take a hammer and put our thumb down and say, you know, thumb, you make me disgusted. I'm mad at you. Boom, 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 boom. Nobody would do that. Why? Because it would hurt. And the rest of my body would say, ah, why did I do that? That hurts. Shouldn't have done that. That's not smart. Why? So we don't hurt part of our body because it's all hooked together and it makes all of us hurt. All right? And so, God says here, when we lie, if you lie to somebody else, that's a part of our church, you lie to somebody that's part of your family at home, you're hurting your family. You're hurting your family. And you're hurting each other, and it gives pain to each other, and that's not a good thing to do. And so he's telling us here that this is very important. It's destructive to ourselves. It hurts ourselves. Now, here's something else for you to think about. A lot of people in our world today think that little white lies are different than big black lies. But God says a lie is a lie. It doesn't matter whether it's a little teeny lie or a great big lie. If it's a lie, it's still wrong. It's still sinful. And so we need to stop lying altogether. God doesn't want us to tell big lies or little lies. And we need to teach our children from the time they're the very, very youngest that lying is wrong and that we're not going to overlook it. In our home, we had a very strong rule. If any of the boys lied, they were in big trouble. No questions asked. You lie, you're in big trouble. And you're going to get some severe discipline because you lied. Lying is not tolerated, period. And we need to have that kind of a strong teaching in our homes to help our children understand lying is wrong. And if you're in a habit of lying and telling lies of any kind, then you're wearing the dirty old clothes of the old man, and you need to put that off, and you need to put on the new man and let God take control of your life and clean up your mouth and say the truth instead of lies. And so the first thing he tells us is to put away lying, speak every man truth. All right, so we are to tell the truth, tell the truth, tell the truth. All of you children, let's say that together. Tell the truth. Let's say it again. Tell the truth. Okay, God wants us to tell the truth. Now, the second thing that he talks about is a little bit harder to understand, but the principle is really good. Verse number 26, he says, "Be angry and sin not. Let not the sun go down upon your wrath, neither give place to the devil." Now, this verse is often misunderstood, and we're going to make it, hopefully, so that we can understand it. Paul, remember, was talking about qualities. He was saying, I'm going to tell you the positive things that you're supposed to do. Put off the old man. So get rid of the lies. Tell the truth. Now he's saying we need to deal with anger and do it God's way. The heading that I put on this is we need to be self-controlled. We need to be self-controlled dealing with anger. Now, anger, the word anger here, again, and this is a little bit technical, a little over you kids' head, but that's all right. Moms and dad will pick this one up. The word anger is a passive imperative. That means it's something I must allow to happen to me. So when he says here, be angry and sin not, I am to allow myself to be angry and not sin. That's a hard one to figure out. And then we got to look at what's the word angry mean. Or the word anger, it does mean to get mad, but it also has to do with to be provoked. To be provoked. Or to be aroused to anger. Or to be angry. All right? So he's saying, allow yourself to be provoked, but don't sin. What's that mean? All right, I'm going to explain to you so you can all catch on to what it means. And it's got something in it for all of us. Now, anger, there's two kinds of anger. There's two kinds of anger. How many kinds of anger is there, Benjamin? How many kinds of anger? Two. All right, there's two kinds of anger. There's godly anger and ungodly anger. Godly anger and ungodly anger. And we're going to look at both of them. And we'll see what the difference is. Godly anger, now listen carefully, there's three ways or three kind of definitions of godly anger. Godly anger is unselfish. Godly anger is controlled. And godly anger is constructive. That means it builds up, it doesn't tear down. All right? So godly anger is unselfish. It is controlled. Unselfish, controlled, and constructive. Godly anger. Now, we should get angry at some things. There's some things we should get angry about. Sinful things we should get angry about. God got angry. He got angry at his people sometimes because they disobeyed him and did wrong. Jesus got angry at the unbelievers because of the hardness of their heart. They would not believe. And we read in Mark chapter 5, three and verse 5, it says, "And when he had looked upon them," it's talking about Jesus, Jesus looked around upon them with anger, being grieved for the hardness of their hearts, he said unto the man, "Stretch forth thine hand." And he stretched forth his hand, and it was restored whole as the other. So Jesus was angry at them because of the hardness of their hearts. Now, when we apply that to our definition, was that selfish? No. Was that was that controlled? Did Jesus go, "Ah, I'm so mad at you, God"? No, he didn't do that. It was controlled. So it was unselfish, it was controlled, and it was constructive. It was to help them learn to do right. All right? So it was unselfish, controlled, and constructive. Moses also got mad at the people of Israel when they made a golden calf and worshipped it. Remember when he came down from the mountain? He got down there and he saw the people dancing and singing around this golden calf and worshiping this golden calf. And he was mad. And he took that golden calf and he smashed it to pieces and ground it to powder and threw it in the water. And then he said, "All right, everybody, get in here and drink this water. You're going to drink this water because you made that golden calf." And that was very, very, very wicked of the people to do that. Now, when Moses did that, was he acting selfishly? No, it was nothing because they didn't do anything to him. They dishonored God. God, he was just on the mountain. What did God just give him up on the mountain? The Ten Commandments. He gave him the Ten Commandments. And one of those Ten Commandments said, the very first one said, to honor the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, and mind. And God is the first. And he gets down there and they've broken the very first commandment. They made a golden calf and they're worshiping it. And he's furious because he was angry at what they did against God, not against him. So it was not selfish. It was controlled. Yes, he smashed the things and he did grind it to powder, but he wasn't out there just ranting and raving and just, you know, just beating up everybody and just acting wild. He wasn't doing that. He was controlled. It was a controlled anger, but he was angry at their sin. And it was constructive. It was to help them to draw back to God and to do what was right. All right? So, godly anger. Now, godly anger, remember, is unselfish, it is controlled, and it is constructive. Ungodly anger is selfish, it is uncontrolled, and it is destructive. So, uncontrolled anger is selfish, it is uncontrolled, and it is destructive. Now, anger is ungodly when it results from somebody displeasing me. You didn't make me happy. You hurt my feelings. I'm mad at you because you made me upset. All right? It's all against me. All right? And maybe it's, you broke my toy. What'd you do that for? You broke my toy. It's mine. What are you doing playing with my thing? That's my bike. You can't ride my bike. That's mine. All right? That's selfish, isn't it? All right? It's all about self. Something that happened to me. And so I'm upset because somebody hurt my feelings. They did something that I didn't like. Not only is it selfish, but it is uncontrolled. It's explosive. Ungodly anger. Many times, you know, people get upset at each other. You get upset with your brother and you go attack your brother. You start hitting and mean and you're screaming and hollering at him and kicking him and being mean. Why? It's out of control. It's out of control. It's wrong. Anger that is out of control is wrong. It's explosive. And then also, it seeks to harm others. You did that to me, I'll get even with you. Maybe you'll do it right now, but one of these days I'm going to get you and I'm going to hurt you because you did that bit to me and I'm mad at you. All right? It hurts others. Sometimes it hurts their words. We say bad things about them. Start calling them bad names. And screaming and yelling at them and calling them nasty things. I hope you wouldn't do this, but unsaved people, when they get mad, what do? They start swearing. Cursing and swearing and calling them all kinds of filthy, dirty words because they're mad. All right? And that's what comes out of an angry person's heart. They seek to harm people with their words. They seek to harm people with their actions. And both of those. So remember the definition here. Ungodly anger is selfish. It's all about you hurt me, you made me mad, you know. And it's explosive or uncontrolled and it seeks to harm others. Ungodly anger. Often, ungodly anger is heated feelings or outbursts. And it's because somebody got in my way. Parents, they're driving down the road, and all of a sudden somebody guy, squeezing, "Oh, what do you think he's doing? They're pulling from me." All right? That's not right. That's ungodly anger. That doesn't please God. All right? And or maybe it's, you know, maybe it's someone that's hurt something that belongs to us. You know, I've struggled with that. That was my very best hammer. What did you do that for? You broke it. You wrecked it. It's no good now. And it's trash. And you didn't ask. It's mine. And you wrecked my hammer. I see. It's all about me. All right? And that is displeasing to God when we get upset when someone hurts something that we want or that belongs to us. And it's uncontrolled in our words and our actions, and we desire to hurt others, and it dishonors God. You know, young people, and us older ones too, when you get angry in an ungodly way, it displeases God. It displeases God. And it'll hurt us, it'll harm us in a lot of ways, and it hurts other people, but most of all, it displeases God. So when you are tempted to get angry, you need to remember, if I get angry, I am making God very, very sad. Because that's not what God wants me to do. God wants me to stay calm. And I can't stay calm in my own strength. I need God's help. I need God's help. That's why I have to put off the old man and put on the new man, because I can't do it myself. Now, we've looked at two kinds of anger. Now, let's go back to this verse and try to figure out what he's talking about here. Ungodly anger is always sinful. All right? Catch that? Ungodly anger is always sinful. Godly anger is not sinful if it's done in a godly way. But ungodly anger is always sinful. Now, with that in mind, look back at the verse again, and he says, be ye angry and sin not. So he says we're to be angry, but we're not to sin. So let me ask you a question. When God says be angry and sin not, what kind of anger is he talking about? Ungodly anger or godly anger? He's got to be talking about godly anger. Because ungodly anger is sinful. So when he says, be angry and sin not, he must be talking about godly anger. Now, you know, there are things in life that ought to upset us. You know, things like when you read the news and things like that, and they're talking about abortions and they're killing all these innocent babies. And that ought to anger us. And when there's all kinds of things out in our world where they put out signs that are wicked and bad signs that are trying to get people to think bad things. That ought to make us upset inside. They shouldn't put that out there for everybody to look at. That's filthy. That's garbage. It ought to upset us when there's bad things that happen in life that are hurting other people. That ought to make us upset. But he says we need to be angry but sin not. So he says we must not sin. The key there, the key to this verse is those three words, and sin not. If anger is selfishly motivated, it is sin. So if I get angry because somebody bothered me, that's sinful. All right? You hurt me. You took what's mine. You broke what's mine. You upset me. You didn't make me happy. You didn't fulfill my desires, and I'm mad about that. Well, that's wrong, because it's about me. It's selfish anger. And explosive anger is wrong. And anger that is verbally harmful and physically harmful is wrong. But godly anger is the only kind of anger that is not sinful. Godly anger is the only kind that isn't sinful. But even that, he says, we need to be careful with. We need to guard it. Notice what he says here. He says, be angry and sin not. So he says, be careful that you don't sin. Be angry at those things that are bad in life, that are wicked and rotten, and we should be angry about, but be careful you don't sin. Be careful you don't take it personally and start acting in an angry way, or getting wild about it, or getting explosive about it. Keep it from becoming ungodly anger. And he goes on in the next verse, and he says, neither give place to the devil. He says, let not the sun... Oh, sorry, I skipped a phrase. Let not the sun go down upon your wrath, neither give place to the devil. What does he mean? The sun go down upon your wrath. What he's saying is, don't let it last for a long time. You need to get it taken care of. All right? Even good godly anger. So I'm all upset because I saw this thing, you know, there's this big bad picture down the shops, and it was terrible. Nobody should look at that. It was a bad picture. I'm upset about that, and it bothers me. But I need to calm down and give it to God and just say, Lord, you're going to have to help us take care of this problem, because I can't do anything about it, and I'll do what I can, but I can't get all upset about it. I can't go to bed tonight all riled and mad and angry and let it... Because why? He says, don't let the sun go down upon your wrath, because if you do, you give place to the devil. What that means is then the devil starts working in your heart and saying, yeah, you deserve to get mad about this. You need to get really upset about this. Come on, rile it up. And the devil's trying to crank us up and get us mad and angry in an ungodly way. And he says we need to be careful to guard godly anger so that it doesn't turn into ungodly anger. Because godly anger can turn into ungodly anger if we're not careful. And he says, so there's nothing wrong. You know, like even with Moses there. Moses got angry at the people when they made this golden calf. But if Moses would have just gone around and started punching people and saying, "Oh, you made me so mad. Oh, Aaron, you shouldn't have done it." Bang! And he gets mad at him, calls him nasty names, and explodes at him. Then it would have turned into ungodly anger. Even though it started out in godly anger. He was angry because Aaron sinned against God. But then he turns it into ungodly anger because he didn't control it and he didn't keep it in a godly way, and the devil used it to turn it around and make it wrong. So we need to be very careful. Even godly anger can turn wrong if we're not very careful with it. But you know, most of the time with all of us, all right, kids, you listening? Most of the time, our problem is not with godly anger. Our problem is with ungodly anger. Most of the time, when I have trouble with anger, it's not about godly anger. Most of the time, it's about ungodly anger. All right? Getting mad about things that I have no business being mad about. Somebody hurt me. They didn't do what I liked, and I get upset about it. You know, they did something that displeased me, so I'm mad. Well, then that's ungodly anger. So most of the time, that's the problem I got to deal with. And so here, God's telling us we need to be self-controlled. How do we do that? Try hard? No. Depend on God. We've got to depend on God because in our strength, we cannot do it ourselves. We can't. We need God's help. All right? Now, one more quality we're going to look at here tonight. And that is in verse number 28. Verse 28, he says, "Let him that stole steal no more, but rather let him labor, working with his hands the thing that is good, that he may have to give to him that needeth." All right, so this one, the first one we looked at here tonight, he said, don't lie. What are we supposed to do instead of lying? Say it again with me. Tell the truth. All right, tell the truth. All right, second one, he said we need to be self-controlled instead of ungodly anger. Be self-controlled instead of ungodly anger. The third one, he's saying that we need to share instead of stealing. We need to share instead of stealing. Now, that's an important thing. Now, I don't think any of you kids have gone down to the ANZ bank and pull out your gun and said, "Give me your money or I'm going to shoot you." I don't think any of you have done that. But, you know, kids do steal. Kids do steal. You know, maybe mom said, "No, you can't have a biscuit." Mom went outside to hang up clothes or something, and nobody's looking. Quick, get a biscuit. Put the lid on quick. Gobble it down quick. Oh, mom didn't know. That's stealing. Or taking something that isn't yours. Maybe it's even something little, like taking a pencil or a pen from school, or taking somebody's rubber for erasing their stuff. But whatever it is, you've taken something that wasn't yours. And that's stealing. And so God tells us here that stealing is part of the old man. You know, I found some interesting statistics, and I think it's probably fairly accurate, maybe it's worse than this. It said that 5% of the price you pay for anything in the store, 5% is there to cover for stealing. In other words, if nobody stole from the store, they could lower the price 5% and still they could make the same amount of money. But because so many people steal, they have to raise the price at least 5% to cover the stealing. And that's sad. That means when I go to the grocery store and buy my groceries, I've got to pay 5% more because too many people are stealing. You know, putting something in their pocket, opening up a candy bar, and letting the kids eat it while they're going on, and throw the paper away before they get to the checkout, and they've stolen the candy bar, they stole something that's in their pocket, and especially little things. It's easy to stick in your pocket, stick in your shirt, stick in whatever, you know, and they steal stuff. People steal all the time. And it's wrong. And because of that, we have to pay for it. That's not right. But that's just facts of life. But you know, there's a lot of ways people steal. People, when they go to work, there's one way that they steal is by being lazy. Did you know that laziness is stealing? If you're working, you know, you're going to work and you're working for the boss, and the boss says, "All right, I want you to work all 8 hours for me today," and you know, the boss isn't around, and you just sit back and you think, I'm tired of working. I'm going to just take a little bit of a break and go get a drink of water and sit down and drink and check my email or whatever, and just play around for a little bit. Oh, here comes the boss. Get back. Or whatever you're supposed to be doing. That's stealing. It's because we're taking somebody's time. He's paying for our time and we're not giving it to him. Or maybe it's doing personal things when we're supposed to be working. That's stealing. Also, people steal from businesses. They steal all kinds of things from businesses. I've heard of people in working in the factories and stuff. They'll steal all kinds of stuff. Steal things that they're working with, bolts and nuts and food and wherever they may be working, they're stealing and they're taking it home and the boss isn't looking. We take them home and they say, I deserve it because they're not paying me enough anyway, so I'm taking my share. That's stealing. So we need to be careful with that. Another way that people steal is they steal music and software and movies by illegally copying them. All right? Now, you kids may not struggle with this right now, but that's something for you to remember. And when you get a CD or you get some music or you get something of that nature or a movie, you cannot copy that thing without stealing. If you make a copy of it, that's stealing. And that's wrong. Now, you can make a backup copy of some things so it doesn't get destroyed. I understand that's not wrong. But if you're making a copy and giving it to a friend or you borrow a movie from a friend and say, I'll make a copy of this and give it back to him, that's stealing. Stealing. All right? And that's wrong. And we need to be careful about that. Another way that many Christians steal is they steal from God. The Bible tells us that God, in the Old Testament, said, I'm going to have you people give a tithe, that's 10% of our income, to God to be able to pay the priests and the Levites and take care of the tabernacle in the Old Testament. Now, in the New Testament, God never said, I changed my mind, we're not going to have a tithe anymore. So the local church, the church will get their money from bingo and from garage sales and from those things. Now, God didn't say that. He didn't say anything about that. So I believe that the tithe is still important for us today for taking care of God's work. And so if in Malachi chapter 3 and verses 8 to 10 says, will a man rob God? Yeah, you have robbed me. And they said, well, wherein have we robbed thee? In tithes and offerings. He says that if we don't give our tithes and offerings to God, we're stealing from God. And so that's something for Christians to pay close attention to. Now, God talks about stealing very clearly. You don't have to be a real smart person to figure out what God thinks about stealing. Exodus chapter 20, verse 15, one of the Ten Commandments, God said, thou shalt not steal. That's pretty basic. You can't steal. Don't steal. Don't steal. Don't steal. So thou shalt not steal. So God makes it very clear that it's not right to steal. And here in this text, he tells us, he said, let him that stole steal no more. So before you became a Christian, if you stole, or even maybe after you're a Christian, you were stealing, he says, stop stealing. Don't steal anymore. Don't steal anymore. But then he tells us how to solve the problem. He says, instead, or rather, let him labor. That means work. Working with his hands, the things that are good, that he may give to him that is needeth. So God says, here's the solution. Stop stealing, get a job, work, and then give away some of what you've worked for to other people. And you think, give it away? I worked hard for this. No, that's what God says. If you do that, it'll help to break your desire for more. I want more. I want this, and I didn't work for this. I want to steal that because I want it. God says, no, that's not right. That's a good thing for parents to do if the children are struggling with stealing. Even if it's just struggling with stealing biscuits or stealing something little. All right? Teach them, if you get caught stealing, you're not only going to get in trouble, but here's what you're going to do. You're going to work for me today, and I'll pay you 20 cents an hour or whatever. And, you pay them, and then, all right, whatever you earn from your work for me today, you're going to give it to the person you stole from. That'll help them to learn. You don't steal. God says we need to give instead of stealing. And that's not right for us to steal. So he says that we need to be generous, not covetous. Generous, not covetous. Now, if you've stolen things, what are you supposed to do about it? Well, I think it's a good idea to do what Zacchaeus did. Anybody remember what Zacchaeus did? What did Zacchaeus do? How did he fix his stealing problem? Anae, what did he do? Okay, he gave back to the people he stole from. Luke chapter 19. Zacchaeus, when he got saved, he trusted Jesus as Savior. He said, Lord, All that I've taken, I'll give back to them. And not only will I give it back, I'll give them more than I took from them. I'll give them back extra to cover it up. And so he said, I'll give them back extra because of what I did to them and I stole from them. And so if we have stolen, we need to repent and we need to repay. We need to repent and repay. And that's the right thing to do if we've stolen. So tonight we've looked at three qualities. The first one was speak what? Speak the truth. All right, let's say it again. Speak the truth. The second one was that we need to stay controlled. We need to be self-controlled about our anger. Instead of exploding, instead of getting angry in an ungodly way, we need to be self-controlled. The third one is that we need to share instead of steal. We need to share instead of steal. All three of those things are things that each one of you young people and older people, we need to work at. We need to work at. We need to be truthful. We need to stop being ungodly anger. And we need to be. We need to share instead of stealing. All right? And if we'll put those things into practice this week, it will be a help, not just this week, but for the rest of your life. If you will learn those things, it'll be a great help to you. Okay? Let's